Romans 12 encourages us to be living sacrifices in gratitude for all God has given us in Christ Jesus. Reconciled to God through Christ, we are called to offer ourselves to God through renewing our minds, serving God with gratitude, blessing the body of Christ through our gifts, and above all, by loving and being devoted wholeheartedly to one another. It is not enough that we believe and that we believe, but that our transformed lives demonstrate our faith in Christian action in practiced ways that reflect God's unconditional love from the center of who we are as members of the body of Christ. With God's help, this is who we, together, are called to be as followers of Christ. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern that this is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in the spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, I guess I kind of, you probably did a check mark on the one about don't be so hearty that you do the things that divide you, and I did this, you know, and this kind of thing. Yeah. How many of you feel like you need to just take a really deep breath after that list, right? Wow. Well, I have to say, though, the choir, I want you to know you just preached my message. Congregation, I want you to know that throughout this week, you have preached my message. Makes it a little bit difficult for me to come before you and say, let's talk about all this and see how we can better ourselves. But I think that there's reasons that maybe it's good for us to look at this again. We are seeing the needs, and we are definitely meeting the needs, and we are watching good fruit grow from the vine that spreads throughout our community and throughout the world. And God cheers for that. God is well pleased in that. In our text this morning, Paul exhorts the Christians in Rome to manifest love that is genuine, unrestricted, and transforming. This perfecting love that God manifests in us by the indwelling of God's Spirit. They had faith, but were violating or denying Christian love that was really due to others. They wanted to keep it to themselves. They weren't imitating the humility and the hospitality of Christ. Living only by a list of rules or by conforming to the ways of the world offered really no life at all. They'd not yet connected head and heart. A true follower of Christ centers on loving God and loving others, which results in transformation. You see, faithful obedience is offering our whole lives to God in response to God's gifts of reconstruction of our minds and our hearts so that we authentically reflect the true image of God, which is love. Paul makes this point very clear, though. God acts first. God moves towards us first. Then, out of our deep gratitude for what God has done, is doing, and will continue to do for and in us, we respond by allowing God to dwell in our very beings so that we are continually being changed from the inside out and our vision for God's dreams become more clear. Paul's exhortation applies to the very similar situations we find disturbing and divisive in our own social, political, and religious culture today, right? I mean, all we need to do to conform to a negative thought or an attitude is flip on the TV, scroll through our Facebook. My husband's here. It's okay. I can do it on occasion. Or read the headlines of the United Methodist Church's news to discover dissension and fragmentation, heartache, pain that results from brothers and sisters not living in harmony with one another in the Christian faith. Now, here's the reason that I believe that it's important for us to consider this passage of Paul. Even though we may be in a season that we celebrate God's dreams realized through the works that we have done, there will be seasons in our individual lives and as the life of the church that will be hard. They're going to be painful, challenging, sometimes frightening, sometimes feeling that the very life is going to be sucked from you and me, from the church. If they haven't been already doing that, or at least we see that maybe we have some of that happening already now. I want to share the story of someone who I visited with on Friday. I had been called by our CCVs, that's our congregational care visitors, who had been visiting her on a routine basis in an assisted living facility, and we found by that trace that she wasn't there. She had been ill that week during the week between our visits and was taken to Halifax in Port Orange. She was in ICU, and we didn't really know what was going on. We just knew something was not right with her. So I went to visit her, and I was so grateful for the opportunity that I took in the midst of chaos and the busyness of life and my own agenda to go on a day that I typically would try and take off and go and visit Marian Schenkel. Marian Schenkel is 91 years old, and when I walked in the room, I saw this frail, pale, limpless kind of creature until we began to share a conversation, and I was able to witness the life within her that is so magnified that really that's the reason why our visitors go and see her week to week, because in doing so, their lives are blessed. Am I right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how this thing works. You see, as I said a prayer for her and said amen, she said, "We're not done." I said, "Okay." And she said, "Are you all right if I have a prayer with you?" "Why, sure. I'd love that." "God, thank you for the breath we have today. This morning, Laura and I woke up. Now, help us see all that this day holds for us because you love us, so that when we walk in darkness tonight, we will know that we have been in your presence. Amen." What a powerful, powerful witness. That's the reason Paul's exhortation is so important for us to heed every single day. John Wesley framed holiness of life in terms of personal and social holiness. It's a practical, living out response to God's unmerited grace in every dimension of life. Striving to perfect love by means of spiritual disciplines such as prayer and covenant groups, our fellowship time, our corporate worship, reading of the scriptures, and breaking bread together on a routine basis, and striving to perfect mutual love in caring for and serving others. All of this working together, mind and heart, hands and heart, keeps our minds and hearts alert to God's dream and the part that we play in helping God recreate and restore the world. Last week, Ward and I were decluttering a keepsake drawer that we have been collecting letters and cards and photos and miscellaneous memorabilia over the past 20 years of our lives. Let me tell you, the reason why we were decluttering it's because it had gotten so full that you could only pull it out about an inch. So we plopped it down on the floor of our bedroom, and we began sitting there for hours going through those cards and looking at those photos and reading those letters, words of peace and things that brought us joy and things that brought us to our knees, because they were some of those letters from loved ones that were more like Paul's exhortations in order that we might be held accountable to a higher road. A higher calling. Well, we laughed at some of the photos that we saw, how we used to look when I didn't have to color my hair and Ward didn't have to brush his hair so much. You know, but we laughed, and then I cried. I think maybe he did a time or two, but I know I cried. When I looked at all those fingerprints holding those tangible evidences of God's genuine love, expressed through family members, through friends, through this church community, through the whole community of faith, from strangers even, in seasons of our life, in the times that were celebratory, in the times that were most challenging, in the most difficult seasons and painful seasons of our lives, and in those seasons where we were in a deep, deep fog. Those tangible items were God's gracious gifts to us, and we treasure them in our hearts forever. Some of those tangible events are fingerprints left by people who are still present in our lives. But some of those were people who had touched our lives and changed us forever, but have now been transitioned to a new life. We can no longer physically touch them, but their love remains forever in our hearts. You see, God never removes from us the love he gives. God never removes from us the love God gives. But God doesn't want, what God does also want to do is help us declutter and remove the stuff that trips us up and makes us less of who God intends for us to be. When we honestly bring our all to God, there will be seasons when this genuine love in the center of who we are confronts our misguided, messy, harmful thoughts and patterns of negative behavior as individuals, and believe it or not, as the church. Rather than being conformed, shamed, or rejected by God, we are gifted again and again and again with God's loving grace. Our willingness to let go of our pride, our entitlement, our self-loathing, our boasting, our fears, our superiority by owning our isms and our distorted vision. When we gather all that and own it, God can give, and we give it to God. God then takes the pleasure of burning away what God can't use and refining what God can and grafting us into a more perfect union in love with God, with one another, and all creation. As members of the body of Christ, each of us, in the spirit of humiliation and hospitality, each of us bring our gifts that will be a contribution in restoring all creation. There will be seasons when pain and sorrow and grief are so overwhelming and numbing that God seems so distant, absent, or cruel. Genuine love from the center of who we are will call us to dwell in someone's dark season, offering presence, compassion, comfort, strength, and assurance. All gentle reflections of genuine love that never dies. We live in a messy, broken, hungry, and hurting world, do we not? And thanks be to God, God has not abandoned us or God's love for all creation. God is still in the business of reconciling and realigning creation, and that includes you and me and the church. That means that with great zeal and bold assurance, we can know by the renewing of our minds and hearts by God's Spirit that nothing in this life, not death, not life, not angels, not angels, not things present, not things to come, not powers, not height, not depth, not anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus' ministry demonstrated that authentic worship and service in every aspect of his life was only attainable by abiding in God and God in him. He taught that this covenant of love relationship he shared with his Father would be the same covenant love, loving relationship that would produce fruits fit for the kingdom living through us. With Jesus' whole life, every fiber of his being, Jesus glorified God by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that every thought, every word, every action produced God in all creation. Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." In preparing our minds and hearts to receive God's grace through means of breaking bread and drinking from the cup, in gratitude for what Jesus has done for all the world that we might be reconciled to God, I want to ask you to consider where you are right now in your life journey. Imagine, if you dare, God loving you so much right where you are as you are. Imagine what it would be like to trust God with your whole life, every fiber of your being, every thought, every word, and every action. Kind or cruel, nothing hidden. Simply letting go and embracing what God does for you because God loves you. This is the work of authentic worship. Let us pray. God, might it be so? Might it be so that even though the world wants to tell us how to live and how to walk and how to move and have our being, whether it's because we're stuck in rigid rules and regulations and it causes us to live in this place of being divided, oh God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. If it's that we have gotten stuck in places in our lives due to pain and suffering and evils of the world, and all we want to do is find a big, huge rock to crawl under, oh God, show us what you do with that rock. Once we allow you to remove it from us, give us the eyes to see you transform it. Help us to sense your breathing into us, that newness of life. Help us so hunger for it that nothing can change but the stirring of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.